delighted to welcome David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. David, you're welcome to us once again here on Connemara Community Radio.
Thank you very much.
David, as I say, we're starting to talk about people going back to the moon. There's a start being made, but tell us a little bit about what's happening at the moment with all of that particular project.
Well, this is now the biggest rocket NASA has ever launched, the biggest one ever to make it into space as well. The Artemis mission, which is to put people back on the moon in just 3 years' time. So the first mission was just an unmanned test of the craft so they can put it through its paces before they risk human lives on it. And it launched perfectly and seems to be going well. A few minor glitches, as you would expect with something this big and complicated. The whole rocket stack is about 100 meters tall. And it's on its way to the moon right now. We'll circle the moon, come back, and then attempt a re-entry at a much higher speed than we normally get from astronauts coming back from the International Space Station. So I think they're using the biggest heat shield ever put on a spacecraft. So if that all succeeds, then it's ready for Artemis 2, the second mission, in 2024 or so. And that'll have astronauts on board. And they'll go to the moon, but they won't land. They'll just circle it, test out all the systems, come back, make sure it's flat land again safely, and then in 2025, people will go again, and this time land on the moon. In fact, NASA said they're going to put the first woman and the first person of color on the moon after all those men that went up back in the late 60s, early 70s.
It's an awful long time since anybody's been on the moon. I mean, I suppose when, you know, growing up, we were all saying, oh, by, you know, the turn of the millennium, we'll all be living on the moon and all this kind of stuff. But there was just a big fall off with all the exploration. Why did it fall off, I wonder? What was the reasoning that they... Was it just out of money or what?
Yeah, well, the reason that we went to the moon in the first place was really political. Kennedy had just come out of the Bay of Pigs. He wanted, they were in the middle of the Cold War. They were flexing their muscles. They couldn't launch nuclear weapons at each other. That was mutually assured destruction. So they had this race into space to see who could get to the moon first. And the Russians nearly beat the Americans. They built a giant rocket of their own, but it had problems. And the Americans managed to get off first because the Russians had beaten them at every other record. First man in space, first spacewalk, etc. So they were really doing quite well, and history could have been very different if Neil Armstrong hadn't stepped foot out onto the lunar surface in July 1969. And then so the Russians sort of gave up the race. The race was over then. And in manned spaceflight is very expensive. So there were better ways of getting craft to other planets, studying them, than sending people there. So that's what they did. NASA focused then on missions like the ones to Mars in the 70s, and then ultimately the Voyager missions to the outer planets, which were phenomenally successful, but no people on board. And a space station was eventually built that kept the manned presence in space for the Americans. But it doesn't need to go out even as far as the moon to be able to experience weightlessness and do the kinds of things in space that you need to do for A, research, but also B, for when you're going to the moon and then on to Mars, being weightless for months at a time. And as I said, this Artemis mission is a stepping stone to Mars. Moon first, Mars after that.
Wow. Now, I'm very intrigued by that idea. You know, we've had spacecraft coming back into the Earth atmosphere, and they've succeeded for the most part. I know we've had a few horrendous experiences. But why have they to make such a coming in so fast and so different than it used to be? I mean, there was one scenario that it'll bounce off and disappear into space forever. The other is that it'll just burn up. I mean, why can't we use the old system we had that did more or less work?
Well, the International Space Station is just orbiting the Earth 400 kilometers above the Earth's surface. The Earth is, you know, 6,000 plus kilometers to the center of the Earth. So it's really hugging the Earth. It's not. It's just barely above the atmosphere. That's all it needs to do in order to be weightless and do all the things you can do in zero gravity that you want to do when you're in space. And there's no sense going any further than you need to. There's also deadly radiation belts, the Van Allen belts, above all that, where you're not protected by the Earth's magnetic field. So it's actually a nice sweet spot where the International Space Station is. And to get that high up, you only have to travel at about, let's stick with miles per hour, 17,000 miles per hour. And so when you come back, your heat shield needs to hit the upper atmosphere at that kind of speed. You get a lot of friction at that kind of speed. Also, you're sort of in Earth orbit, in a circular orbit, so you just lower yourself gently onto the atmosphere. Now, when you come from the moon, you could be coming in perpendicular, straight down. Also, to escape the Earth's gravity altogether, you have to go a little bit faster to get to the moon, about 24,000 miles an hour versus 17,000. So you're going faster, and the angle you come in at is very important. So you can skip off the Earth's atmosphere if you don't come in at the right angle. And also, even if you do come in at the right angle, you're hitting it at a much higher speed. And as you double the speed, the amount of energy that you've got actually quadruples. So, you know, 24 versus 17,000 miles an hour, it doesn't sound that much, but when you have that square law, it's called, effect, it actually means a lot more energy in your speed of motion. So it's a much, much trickier process than it is coming back from the International Space Station, which they've more or less perfected. But remember, they did it all for the Apollo missions,
yeah.
The six of them that went to the moon, a few others that went around the moon as well. So we don't expect NASA's going to have any great problems. It's a brand new rocket. It's not the Saturn V. So all those systems have to be tested out to make sure they are human safe.
It'll be fascinating to see how this is progressing. And as I say, Artemis is doing a little bit of a search around the moon, and as I say, going out a bit farther, but then coming back down. So it'll be. I'm sure there'll be plenty of new pieces of information being gathered there as well. But just on the general aspect, I suppose, of what people to look for in the sky at the moment, David, what's going on that special at for now?
Yeah, well, the two big stories are, in planet-wise, are Jupiter and Mars. I just saw Jupiter a few moments ago. Jupiter's blazing high in the south. If you look out the window now, you'll see it. And it's going to be there till at least midnight. But coming up well to its left is the planet Mars. And Mars is going to be closest to Earth on December 1st. So it's extremely bright. It's brighter than all the stars in the sky. And by about late in the evening, you can actually see Jupiter over in the west, Mars over in the east. And Mars is a little bit dimmer than Jupiter. Jupiter is obviously white, and Mars is obviously orangey-red because it's covered in sandy deserts. So it's the color of red sand, as it were. If you've got a telescope, you can see the disks on both planets, cloud belts on Jupiter, its moons going around it, and dark markings on Mars itself. And on December 8th, almost when Mars has its closest, the moon is going to pass in front of it. Perfect timing. Now, it happens early in the morning, so you don't want to be in something like not staying up till late. It'd be well worth your while staying up on December the 8th, the morning of December the 8th, to watch the moon pass in front of Mars, because you may never see that again in your lifetime. So lots happening planet-wise. The International Space Station starts flying over in evening skies from tomorrow for nearly 3 weeks. Free predictions for that will be on astronomy on social media, Facebook, Twitter, etc. And the other big thing that's happening, starting tonight, is the Leonid meteor shower. Now, it's an average shower. You might see a few extra meteors. But there's actually an outburst expected on Saturday morning. It's around 6 a.m. So either get up very early or stay up very late. And we could be getting up to 300 Leonid meteors per hour, which is, you know, dozens of times. Probably, you'd normally expect to get one every 10 minutes. So if you can get 50 times that, that'll be really spectacular. So I'll certainly be up watching for that.
Yeah. I actually saw a beautiful shooting star myself last week, very slowly moving across the sky, very spectacular to see it. I mean, it's a lovely sight when you see this kind of flash of light and the trail behind it, and then it just disappears. But they are very special, and I suppose look here in Connemara, we don't have too much light pollution, so we have a good chance to see them.
Absolutely, and we want people to count how many they see every 15 minutes and send those in, because those counts are actually scientifically valuable. It's members of the public counting them all over the world that actually tells us which meteor showers are better and how they're getting on as time goes by. Are they getting better or worse? For instance, the big one in August seems to be dwindling a little, but the one in December is still going strong. There's the Geminids on December 13th, we're really looking forward to. That'll be about 100 meteors per hour. So if this outburst happens on Saturday morning, it'll be three times better than the best meteor shower of the whole year. We don't expect it to last very long, so 6 to 6.30 is the time to be watching.
Okay.
And all this is in Astronomy On magazine. We're able to predict this well in advance. And lots more details that are here in the planets and when they're going to be near the moon. For instance, on the 28th, and the 29th of this month, is Saturn will be near the moon. Saturn's not as bright as Jupiter and Mars, but you can see it soon after sunset for the next few weeks, looking like a brightish star in the sky.
Okay. So obviously, for people who are interested, get onto Astronomy Ireland and find out the information there. You can join up there. I presume, again, it would be something you could get somebody for Christmas. It would be a year's membership. But, of course, you'd have the wonderful magazine then to keep you occupied as well.
Absolutely. The gift memberships are very popular at this time of year. And, you know, there's part of anything else that is supporting the society and the like. Every month, the person who knows interested in space, especially kids, will get a reminder of your Christmas present. Nice little treat like that. And there are even evening classes starting at the end of January, early February, actually. And you can enroll people for those as gifts as well. But we get a lot of people doing that every year. And the magazine, of course, even for yourself, it ends up costing about €1 a week, as well as the monthly magazine and paper falling through the letterbox. There's also the weekly email that we only send out to members, keeping them abreast of everything that's going on, like this meteor shower, for instance. We emailed them a couple of days ago. So all the members of Astronomy know this is coming. And there are also things like aurora alerts and International Space Station times that are free on the website. So do go to the website. It's very simple, astronomy.ie, simple as that. And you can sign up then and there. You can give a gift membership as well. Have a look at the classes, see what you think. They're starting in February. You can join those as well. There's even telescope advice at this time of year for people who think they're getting somebody a telescope. But don't buy anybody a telescope or binoculars without getting them the magazine, because they'll play with it for the first few weeks, then get bored with it and miss all the great things that are coming up. Like, for instance, the moon passing in front of Mars on December 8th. So Astronomy Ireland will help them and guide them, hopefully for the rest of their life, using the telescope.
Okay, well, good man, David, and thank you for being with us, as I say, and for all the information there. And we'll talk to you again very shortly. But